Welcome to another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin. Now, Rob, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
And I don't think this question would ever have been asked very often prior to, like, this year.
Okay.
What's your vaccination status?
You mean when I travel overseas?
I mean, right now, this is hot news, and we are obviously going to link this to sport because that's what we talk about. But vaccination status.
I've had both my Pfizers.
Me too. So we should put it out there for anyone who happens to be listening that we're probably a bit biased because we've both made the choice to be vaccinated, yes. Fully vaccinated, and we are both fully vaccinated with the Pfizer.
Yeah.
So we'll get that out straight away.
And it was a decision I made. I made a choice because of the work I'm doing with my master's at university, and I'm visiting older people in those types of situations. I wasn't told I had to. I had to get a flu shot, which I did. I had to get a police check and all that, which I did. No one said to me, you have to get the vaccination. I chose to do it because I felt it was in the best interest of the people I was going to visit.
Yeah, and I think that's a good reason to be vaccinated. I chose to get vaccinated because I understand what vaccination is. I understand the purpose of it. And I did it for a range of reasons. One, like my mum is older and reasonably healthy but has a few health issues. At the time also, my wife's stepfather was really ill, and we were going to palliative care and so on to visit, and you needed your flu. You had to have that first, and
yes.
then we wanted to get vaccinated as well. And I think I'm doing it also because I think it will keep me healthy long term, and I think it's the best thing to do for the community. So I'm certainly clearly biased towards vaccination and the benefits of it.
I don't like the hammer effect where they're telling people you have to. I think there needs to be more education about it. I mean, I made an educated choice to have it, but I see in the sports circles there were people that refused to have it.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. I thought because like this week or maybe the last fortnight really, Denny Van Hagen or Hagen, I'm not sorry if I pronounced it incorrectly, one of the AFLW Crows players.
Yeah, two premiership players.
Yeah, been, I'm not sure if delisted is the right word, but.
Well, she's been put on the sideline, yeah.
So because she has made a choice not to get vaccinated. And so, of course, that's been big news in the sporting area, especially in Adelaide.
Something interesting about her, she is a registered ICU nurse, and it makes you wonder because one of the things that was said to me was that she's seen the effects that some people have had from having the vaccinations and they've been sick. So does that play a part?
Obviously for her, not for me. Again, we live in this world now where we are bombarded with information. You talked about being educated, but there's this sort of a double-edged sword. Like we have – like right now, there's more information available to us than there's ever been available. The difficulty, of course, is working out what is good information or credible information and what isn't. Conspiracy theories have always existed.
Oh, yeah. I've heard them
ever. But, of course, now we have a way of sharing them all very easily. And so, of course, people, we now look and say, well, the idea of fake news, for example, what is real, what is not real. I certainly look at what I would think are credible sites. Like if I'm looking at Therapeutic Goods Administration and they're collecting all the data, looking at how many people are getting their vaccination, what are the side effects, how many, and what type of side effects, the numbers are really small. Other people would argue, oh, we can't trust whatever the government put out. They're making it up. They're trying to get us vaccinated and so on. So I'm still, me personally, I'm going to be looking at what I would think is a credible website, and I'm looking at information from around the world and working out myself what I believe is fair. Now, and the other reality, of course, is there is no medication that we ever take that does not have side effects.
No.
Including things that we might think are simple like paracetamol, aspirin, yeah. Aspirin, and so on. So the idea that you can take something at some form of drug or medication and have no, there's no risk of side effects, it just doesn't exist.
Because it affects different people differently. I mean, we all got different makeup, we all got different DNA, and whereas family and that are connected through their DNA, they're still different, so they can still have effects. There was one chappie that I know that's been involved with a league footy club, obviously with Central District, but he, after his second Pfizer, he had a lot of trouble. He was in ICU, and he it was something to do with the white pellets in the
platelets.
Platelets
are involved in blood clotting. White blood cells are obviously, there's different types of blood cells, a quick biology lesson.
He apparently was in ICU for a number of weeks, and he can't talk properly. He's got something in the throat that's affected all the nerves up there. And I also heard from other sources about other people, but, you know, the majority of people seem okay though.
Well, that's what the data says. Like, there's been 37, nearly 38 million doses given in Australia, and the number of people who have had reported side effects that, again, going through what we say are government websites, and I'm going to make the assumption that they're reporting correctly, is quite small. And yes, there's a few ranges of them. Pfizer seems to be stuff to do with the heart, some inflammation of the heart itself, and also the lining of the heart. So, you know, a lot of people reported things like a bit of nausea, dizziness, obviously a bit of fever, that type of thing, which can be typical of having a vaccine. The reality of having a vaccine is we are injecting into us or introducing into us something that is foreign to our system. Now, our immune system is designed to find things that are foreign and actually mount an immune response. So things like fever, things like inflammation are part of that immune response. The benefit, of course, of the vaccine is and of our immune system and the whole purpose behind it is our body will actually make cells that are specific now and have a memory for that particular pathogen or part of that pathogen. So the idea that I can't get that disease is incorrect. The reality is if I come across COVID-19,
you have better defenses.
My body now has a memory for it. Mm-hmm. It will produce antibodies much more rapidly in much greater numbers and therefore hopefully in a basic sense overpower it, and I won't feel the symptoms or have high-level symptoms of that disease.
From the vaccinations, from the two, did you have any effects at all?
No, look, the first one I had, I did have a mild headache for a couple of days, and that sort of started a day after, not immediately. I don't know whether that was linked to that or whether it was I get headaches every now and then for different reasons. Sometimes my neck's out, sometimes I haven't slept well. That went away. And after the second one, I didn't have any side effects at all on the second one.
Well, the first one didn't affect me except just a little bit of soreness, a slight headache and that. But the second one hit me pretty hard. I started feeling very sluggish, very tired. And the following day, all my hands, they were swollen up, and I was getting sort of splitting headaches, and I had some heart palpitations.
Did you go to the doctor?
Well, it wasn't – you see, I've had – back in 5 years ago, I had some problems. I had pneumonia and septicemia, and I was in ICU for a week or so. When I came back to LA, that was when I was visiting Victoria, but I came back to LA and I saw the heart specialist, and I actually had what's called an ablation in my heart because of the fact that the heart palpitations were getting, you know, too fast. So I've got a history of it. The heart palpitations that I was getting this time were what I could control, like where I, you know, I could just relax and take deep breathing, and I was able to sort of not let it get to a stage. But if it got worse, I would have definitely gone to the doctors.
Okay. And you're good now?
Well, as good as you can be for someone my age.
You want to tell me how young you are?
Well look, just, you know, we were talking about Denny Van Hagen, and she was a woman's AFL, but see, Carlton, I think it's Liam Jones.
He was named, I think, either last night or just today. Again, he's yet to receive a vaccination. Now, my understanding is that the AFL have put a deadline of November 26, which is not far away. And so they're basically saying all players must be fully vaccinated. And if you're not, your contract will be null and void. You won't be playing. So he was one person named. Now, I would assume that there are others. So this will probably start to build up, won't
it? We'll know closer to the date. Yeah.
And it's this idea of, like, for example, my workplace this week put out a survey for all of the staff asking our vaccination status. And it's like, oh, well, okay. I personally don't mind saying, yeah, I'm happy to say this is what I do but you go, hang on a minute, that is a bit, is it okay to ask that? Yeah. Now, legally they can. And then currently in South Australia, at least, there hasn't been any talk, for example, of saying, hey, all teachers, if you're not, you have to be vaccinated to work. Now, we know that those things are starting to happen in workplaces. And in this case, AFL is a workplace, isn't it? So they've made a clear decision. This is what's going to go on. So you think, okay, yeah, we're starting to hear more and more now that if we're not vaccinated, it is going to take away some of our freedoms. And, of course, that is upsetting people and saying, hang on a minute, you can't do that, you can't say this, you can't ask me to do that. But
what about the case of Novak Djokovic, the famous tennis player? I mean,
number one.
Yeah, he doesn't say whether he's had it or not, but he says it's his business. He doesn't want to tell anyone.
Yes, and again, I can understand that. So it's a matter of us grappling with that idea of our freedoms versus maybe how we have a role in society and community and keeping everyone safe. There's always a balancing act of my rights and my responsibilities. I think we tend to work more in society now about what my rights are rather than responsibilities. But clearly, again, there's going to be differences for these international sporting stars as they travel around, like tennis is an international sport. So Australia are clearly saying it's very unlikely for anyone to come over here and get a visa unless they're fully vaccinated. And that is going to include people like Novak Djokovic, regardless if you're number one or not. So at some point, people are going to have to, like I know it's probably going to be, we all know, if I want to travel, I know I've got my... I'm fully vaccinated at this stage, and so I'm going to have that certificate, which probably means that's going to be linked to my passport, and I'll be able to travel.
Well, you know, you're into the speedway and motor sports. There's a guy in the V8 supercars, David Reynolds. He raced in the first week.
Well, V8's had a big break, and part of that was because of COVID. And so they ended up now starting again. They've had two weekends in a row, and they're actually having four consecutive weekends racing in Sydney. And their rule was you had to be fully vaccinated or you had to have an exemption. Now, Davey Reynolds raced in the first weekend in Sydney, and then it came about last week in the media that the New South Wales health authorities looked into his exemption and said, no, this is not valid. So how it somehow got through, but then it was overturned. And so he has now been banned for the next three races. He can't race. He can't be there. And so he's now had his first vaccination. Now, he's been fully supportive of the idea. I don't know why he had an exemption. But obviously, since he's been told that it's not a valid reason for exemption, he's now had his first vaccination and is going to get his second. So he sort of, whatever the reason was, he's now obviously thought, okay, I've got to do it. So it's obviously not a health thing or whatever that may have prevented him. So there's been a few cases lately, hasn't there? There's the V8 supercars, we've got the footy stuff happening, we've got tennis, and we've also got our normal workplaces now where if you're working with in medical field, if you're working with old folks, all that sort of stuff, now if you're not vaccinated, you're going to find employment difficult.
There's a couple of little things about this. One is, look, if people want to get vaccinated, that's fine. I'm supportive of that. If people don't want to, well, you know, that's fine, but you've got rules and regulations that you've got to follow. That's it. But, you know, it's a very hard, it's a divisive subject with a lot of people. So I suppose it is what it is. But one thing that worries me a little bit is that with the checking in that people do, a lot of people have stopped. They pretend they're checking in now because they don't want to be isolated, because they don't understand the rules and we haven't really been told. There are people now saying that when they open it up, they're not going to you know, they're just going to pretend to be putting their phone on the app because they don't want it to come back, and then they find they have to isolate.
Yeah, look, again, I'm just a stickler for the rules, but I'm making sure I'm doing all the things that have been asked of me, because I feel that it's about being part of the community and trying to make sure we've got a healthy community. I don't want to put other people at risk. I don't want to put myself at risk, but I certainly want to put other people at risk. But reality is the landscape is about to change. We all know that because borders are about to reopen. All those things are going to happen. So, look, I'm hoping that we can – I think we've dealt with it very well. Our numbers have been really small. We've looked after each other, which is great. But I am concerned about what's going to happen. And I hope that everybody can work together and make sure that we're not putting people who are currently at risk further at risk.
I think this is a subject we need to revisit in a month or so, because the 23rd of November, as we said, and there's other issues which are going to come once we open up. Let's revisit this a few weeks after everything opens up and sort of see how the landscape is then.
Good idea.
So it's another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.